Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoors Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, if you're looking at the top 10 outdoor gear, if I were you, I would be instantly thinking he's going to be speaking about kayaks and snowshoes and bears. Oh my. But no, today is about what you must have every time you enter the outdoors, regardless of your activity. The top 10 is in no specific order. Just make sure they find their way onto your checklist. And yes, checklist, you have to have one. You should create one, file it. And every time you go to an outdoor activity, go through your checklist. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So the first on my top 10 is proper footwear. This will make your day a great adventure or a living fill in the blank, you know, as people say, but I don't say. So let's talk hiking boots first. There are low cut boots. Me personally, I would never wear them in the outdoors when I'm speaking and I'm on camera, but I never on the trail. And that's just me in a personal preference. And again, I'm looking for the security of my ankles on that one. So that's why I use mid cut boots on day hikes, on overnight backpack trips. And there are so many different brands that are out there. And they also say this, you need to find out the one, because hey, for example, I'll just go to running. I've been wearing ASICS running shoes forever because they just do well for my feet. My body likes me when I wear them. Well, there's also a mountaineering boot, and this is a higher than a mid-cut boot. And when I'm doing my research in the top of the Rockies, I use these boots. I actually have a pair that's imported from Italy. Just found something that works for me. They are like the four-wheel drive of boots. Prior to any trip, and this is part of proper footwear, you need to make sure they are broken in. So I'm going to tell you right now, you get a brand new pair. Actually, my nephew Wyatt, and I mentioned this to him in college, University of South Carolina. He joined a hiking club a year ago, and I actually spoke about this on another show. You need to walk around the parks, some on some flat trails, because you want to make sure they're broken in, because blisters will ruin any adventure. Now, I know that we can be speaking about proper footwear, and we can even go into water shoes and biking shoes and snowshoes. So there are all these different specifics, and I'd say, hey, just check your Ramsey Outdoor or local sports store and have a conversation with an expert. Now, part of the proper footwear I include are socks. You want to have a wicking layer, and I'll talk to you all about wicking layers in a little bit. And outside of that, either a synthetic wool, a merino wool, which is less itchy, or alpaca socks. Hey, I have them on right now from Alterra. My friend Sean is the owner of the company. He's given me a few pairs. And let me tell you, they work super, because it's funny. I am in the studio right now. It is glass enclosed and it is snowing outside right now as I'm recording the show. But hey, I just love I'd rather be out there in the snow, but guess what? The only way I could talk to you about these things are inside. Moving the studio outside today, which we couldn't do anyway, would not be a good thing. Now, going to the socks, there are different thicknesses for each season. So you need to make sure that you've got the appropriate sock liner and appropriate sock thickness outside of that. I also include in that proper footwear extra laces. It's like having a spare tube for a bike if you're going on a long biking journey. You want to make sure that you've got some extra laces. So you put that whole package together, and that is number one on my list. Number two, because I mentioned wicking layers for your feet, so now let's talk your body. What wicking layers actually do, they take moisture away from your body. If you don't know this, the reason why you get cold is when you sweat, the water stays next to your body, and as it cools down, that's what cools your body. The wicking layer will actually take the moisture, and it will put it into the next layer, so it takes it away from your body. And there are sock liners, There are underwear. There are shorts, long and short sleeve shirts. Some of them you might even call long johns, but they're just, you know, wicking layers, which are long johns, I guess. Now, the next layer next to your body should be a fleece weight, or a fleece layer, I should say it that way. And they come in different weights. And there's a 200 weight, a 300 weight. There's probably even a 400 out there, but I don't think it's necessary, because if it's that cold, you're going to have an extra layer with your coat. We can get into that. But I'm going to let you know that having that wicking layer and then putting it into the fleece, because the fleece then wants to direct it also to the outside of your body. So that works. So number three on my top 10 list is a map compass versus a GPS on your phone. So let's take a look at it this way. You got a map, a compass, a topo map. You've got your GPS in your phone. So which one works? Well, getting lost is never a good thing. So let's talk about, as a matter of fact, funny, I'm driving Gabby to basketball practice about a week ago, and we're headed down towards the shore region. And I just, for whatever reason, have a great conversation where I take a wrong turn and I get lost. And I'm like, all right, well, I can set this up on my GPS on my truck. And I just said, no, let me just think. And I was able to backtrack out of it. She thought it was quite funny. Hey, we did get to practice on time, so that was a good thing. So let's go to map, compass, topographic map. We call them topo maps versus GPS on your phone. What happens if your phone dies? Well, if your phone dies, then you're without a map. And that's why I say always learning how to use a map and a compass. They do sell also, there are these little solar packs that attach to your backpack. And when they attach to your backpack, you can actually generate enough energy to charge your cell phone. So that's one thing. But also, what happens if you get out there and there's no reception? So, you know, there are all these things. And I always say this, you know, so many people are looking for different things to do in the wintertime. Most outdoor stores offer a map and compass course. So, hey, it's a great winter activity for you. Now, for me, I want to be able to see it, find it, and that's why I use a topographic map. And when I was doing the grizzly bear research, and again, I know I mentioned this story a few times, but it's worthwhile. I was taught, I knew it pretty well, but I was taught so well, you're in the top of the Rockies, and I could see a mountain. I'm looking out from on one peak, looking at another peak, and I would look at the topographic map, and I could look down onto the map and see the mountains. So I would be able to see it, find it, and that's just my own little terminology there. And also this, if you happen to be a kayaker, having a topographic map of a lake will teach you about the depths. And if you happen to be a fisherman or a fisherman kayaker, well then, knowing those depths are very important, especially when you get into those large impoundments, like huge reservoirs that are so deep. Now, I am now going on to number four, and I just think this is so important, is a first aid kit. You can create your own. You know, many kits that you purchase, they're pretty good, and I gotta say that. Well, you need to add a couple things. And I've added a splint to mine. I've added antibacterial wipes. So I actually have a few extra things. And the antibacterial wipes are like good for many things. Hey, you need to clean your hands. You're about to have food. And I also include in my first aid kit an extra little kit, very inexpensive, a bee, spider, and snake bite kit. And I think that's important. And how about if you learn first aid? So here you are. I got the tools in my toolbox that I don't know how to use. And well, I may as well learn first aid. So if you're looking for that winter activity, go to the Red Cross, take a first aid course. And my first aid kit stays in my truck all the time. And I really mean this, because I have a huge kit. Because again, we're always filming out in the wild and I have to make sure I'm taking care of a whole film crew, etc. And the number one thing is not cuts in a sense. The number one thing goes back to our number one with our footwear is blister control. So make sure that you've got things in there that are good for blisters. So moving along, number five is my combo platter. You'll understand why I say this. It's hydration. And if you want your cells to use the energy that's inside of them, you need to make sure that your cells are hydrated. They cannot use that energy without water in there. So let's talk about a BPA-free water bottle. BPA is a cancerous material. And just so you know that a BPA-free bottle is inexpensive to purchase. And I'm going to say, here's how crazy it is. In our country, we still sell BPA bottles and non-BPA bottles. In just about every other country in the world, you can't get a bottle unless it's BPA free. So like, what are we doing? And that goes into our FDA, and we got to make sure we change things like that. Next thing, you should have an insulator sleeve on top of it. And they're very inexpensive. And the insulator sleeve that I have, and I'm not exaggerating, I don't know the real number of miles. I'm saying it's gone at least 100,000 miles with me, or to all, you know, four corners of the U.S. and everywhere in between. So I'm going to let you know that, you buy an insulator, you take care of it just like you take care of all your gear. It lasts for a long time. You want to stay away from bottled water, because inside of bottled water is xenoestrogens, and that is also a cancerous material in water. And once again, our government allows it. Why? I don't know. They could take care of that one too. So part of my combo platter, you know, we talked about water and hydration, is energy. So, you know, what is the means of keeping your food fresh? Well, guess what? They sell BPA-free Tupperware. You can find quality organic foods, put it in there. You know, again, you make the call as to what is the proper energy. And again, I even have shows on your food in the wild. Don't go to that show because you need to finish this show. But after that, you can go listen to some of the foods you can use there. And they make collapsible food coolers. I have one that zippers closed, Velcros. It's like the burdock on a plant, if you know that what burdock plant is. So it's like the seed coat on there, and the way it just, you know, sticks, and that's really what Velcro is. So I actually, after I'm done with my food, I can collapse it down, so inside my backpack I actually have more space. So number six on my list are waterproof matches in a dry container with a striker. Now, you could also use, there's other types of fire starters, but I just love the wooden matches. I have a little dry container, because think about this. Even though they're waterproof, if they got saturated, they may not be waterproof, and I've experimented with things like that, so I keep them in a dry container. Now, a great example of the importance of a good fire. I'm out there with my great friend David Alexander, noted author, and if you haven't seen any of David's Hop Into and all his whole series of books that he has out there for educators, David's the most, and I'm not exaggerating, the most brilliant naturalist I have met in America. So he and I are out there snowshoeing, and we're walking on wetlands, and I mean, the ice was really thick, but there are these stress fractures, and sometimes a little coating of snow, you can't see them, and I'm in the snowshoes, and I break through, and the water was maybe about almost up to my hip, and I'm a pretty tall guy, and one leg goes down, the other leg stays up, so that's where it broke, and all of a sudden, my snowshoe is stuck in the bottom of the muck on the bottom of the wetlands, and as I'm coming up, it comes off my foot. Well, I am not leaving a snowshoe, and I am not going to wait till the springtime to fish it out. So I actually lay down on the ice, bend all the way down, and I reach down as far as I could and arm, and then I can, because long arms, and I'm able to pull the snowshoe out. And I had waterproof clothing on, outside layer, so got very little wet, but a little wet inside there. Well, there was a need for a fire. So we went to a fire ring because, once again, we are in a area that, you know, again, you need to always follow safety. And if your state or your national forest, whatever you're at, says that you should be doing fires in a fire ring, we found one. We created a fire. I dried out a little bit. We actually cooked our lunch on there as well, put it out safely because it's pretty easy to put it out when you have lots of snow around. And then we went off. But without my waterproof matches and dry container, all that work. Now, my buddy Dan DeCristo, he's actually a great outdoorsman as well. He purchased, now think about this, in IKEA, he found, this is his own thought in his mind, pretty creative. He found a stainless steel container that you would use for holding kitchen utensils. And they had two sizes, so to speak, a small one and a larger one. And this will contain a small little fire for cooking a lunch or something. And there are holes, so you have great holes all along for the, and I'm babbling here because I'm trying to think about it. Like, I've actually have pictured in my mind, I'm speaking, so I apologize. And with these holes, you've got great aeration for your fire. And there was two sizes. So Dan bought me both of them because he didn't know which one I want, so I do appreciate that. And then I went up to Ramsey Outdoor and I purchased stainless steel skewer pegs or 7 inches. Think about this. There was like six pegs in there for $3.49. They fit right through the holes in the container. So I was able to have a small fire below. The skewers will make a great cooking grate so you can put your food safely above the fire. And there are fire starting classes. My great friend, actually, I have lots of great friends, but really my great friend Jim Bruschak, Native American storyteller, writer, author, and expert, truly expert outdoorsman, runs the Endocrino Wilderness Center, and they have fire starting classes. So you can actually, hey, they have them for children, they have them for adults. So just once again, maybe you're looking for a wintertime activity to do, something to think about. So moving along, and no, I'm not going to talk about any friends on this one. Maybe I will. Anyway, number 7 is a quality knife. You know, there are inexpensive knives everywhere. Gabby and I were at an outdoor show last weekend, and as we're walking through, we're working with Mega Strike for a little bit, but we're walking through, and there were knives for $5 everywhere, lock blades, and you go, oh, that's great, it's great, but will they hold that edge, meaning will they stay sharp? And quality steel holds a good edge, and that costs money, so I'm going to let you know, and I have a couple personal choices, and you could use anything that you want, but I'm going to let you know that I have a Kabar or K-Bar, depends on how you like to pronounce it, you're part of the country, and it was a gift from me probably 20 years ago, and I to this day, I still have it. I have a few buck knives that I use as well, but the K-Bar goes with me everywhere I go, and so you know, when you have a lock blade knife, especially if it happens to be in your pocket, most states, legal size said you open the knife up and the knife blade has to fit across the palm of your hand. And I'm actually doing that with my index finger right now across the palm of my hand. Because if it goes longer than that, you could be holding a weapon instead of a pocket knife. So that's just something for you to know. So you should check what, you know, what the regulations are with yours. Now with the buck knives, I found a company that will actually engrave on them. So for a Christmas ago, for my brother-in-law Rob, my nephews Wyatt and Dylan, I got them beautiful buck knives with their names engraved on it. And my, watch this, my good friend, Michael Mataloni, he's the executive producer on our most recent documentary that we're filming right now, or actually we're in the editing stages. Well, I put the name of the documentary on the knife. So, you know, there are some quality brands. Again, you just need to do your homework again on this one. And again, it's like the preference with the hiking boots, a preference with the knives. So just remember this. And there's two things you need to remember. The words of my nonno, which is my grandfather in Italian, a dull knife cuts twice. Think about that one, and that's why you want to be able to make sure that you have a great edge on it. Well, to make sure I have a great edge, my dad, he is brilliant at sharpening knives. He taught me how to sharpen them on stones, hand stones, and then getting down to an Arkansas stone, and he has a thin belt sander. Well, I'm going to let you know that I am pretty good at sharpening. He is absolutely great at sharpening. So having that skill as well, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know of any courses. Maybe Jim Bruschak would be able to teach you that at, you know, in the Endocrino Wilderness Center. But I'm going to let you know that you probably want to find somebody who could sharpen well and ask them, again, and take a few lessons from them so you can learn. So number 8 on my list are field guides. We should always learn more about the outdoors. When I am in front of educators and I am speaking, this is one of my sayings. I learn more so I can teach more. There are so many different topics. So if you're heading out on a birding adventure, well, guess what? There is a field guide for bird nests and eggs. And believe it or not, every bird makes a unique nest. Every bird has unique eggs with the color, the spotting, the clarity, all these different things. So just by hiking along and having a field guide, I mean, if you're headed to the shore, there are field guides on seashells. If you're heading to the outdoors, there are books on tracks and scat, once again, by Jim Bruschak and Dr. James Halfpenny, my professor, brilliant man. So there are all these different, and I really mean this, I am not, and for those of you that listen to me all the time, I am not this typical name-dropping guy. For whatever reason, names are just flying out of my mouth today, don't know why. Well, there is a field guide for everything. All right, there's not one for a Sasquatch. Probably there might even be one for Sasquatch. Don't know. So moving to number 9 on my list. How about binoculars? And I call them binos. You can go from an inexpensive pair to a high-quality pair. And I'm going to let you know the high-quality pair cost quite a bit of money. Well, Gabby has a pair in the backseat of the truck, and they're one of my small backpacking pairs, but they're perfect for her. And there's also a few field guides back there. So we'll be going somewhere, but while we're going somewhere, she would just say, hey, I just saw, and she picks up her binoculars, and if we've passed it, she grabs her field guides and opens it up, and this is where education begins. So my binos, I've got a pair near my bird, you know, in my, actually, they're not outside, but they're inside near my feeding station, so I have it for the research. They're a must. Respecting animals in the outdoors, and this is very important, from a distance. For example, bald eagles, we like to give them at least 400 feet of space. So if you don't have a camera lens that's going to get out there, well, I'm going to let you know that your binoculars would be perfect to do that. So, and you know what? It also brings the beauty of nature up close and personal. And you know what? There are those backpacking pairs, and as I mentioned with Gabby, they're the perfect size for children. So speaking of backpacks, how about a perfect backpack for your day hikes? You know, and they're the larger ones for the overnights. Comforts, you know, I'm going to let you know. And I've also, again, I know that a couple of these topics, because sometimes they just cross over, and I spoke about this. Well, you want to take the same way when you're going on that brand new hike with your hiking boots in the park first to break them in. Same thing happens to do with your backpack. It's not necessarily breaking in, but it's the adjusting of the straps. And you want to make sure that you've adjusted the straps. You want to make sure that everything feels comfortable on you. You want to get used to what you can pack and how to pack it, the space and comfort. And if you go to Joey B TV, there is one with David Alexandro, the naturalist, and he shows how to pack. And again, this happens to be for an overnight, and he shows all of his gear and how to properly put it in there to distribute the weight the right way. So that's one thing for you there too. And again, I use the Joey B Signature Series from Tranquility Mountain. Hey, I designed and tested it, so why wouldn't I use it? You know, but there are so many quality brands that are out there. Find one that works for you. So what didn't make my top 10 list? Because the backpack was my number 10. So what didn't make it? But I thought was necessary. How about a flashlight, the headlamp? One time, many moons ago, didn't have a headlamp on me. We're setting up camp in Montana, top of the Rockies at night. So my flashlight is actually in my mouth, because that's what else do you do? You need it. So the headlamp works well. How about extra batteries for that flashlight and any other item that needs batteries? And I always put them in a Ziploc, because once again, you want to make sure they stay waterproof. Your camera, make sure that you charge it, and if you have extra batteries for it, they are charged prior to your trip. If you happen to be a fisherman, how about taking a small rod, your personal choice of lures? And again, just tiny little box lures. How about extra clothing? Dry, keep them in a Ziploc, and I do that too. Now, this one goes without saying, probably should be in the top 10, probably should be number one on everyone's list. How about little TP, little toilet paper out there? You know, so that is probably the most important thing in life, yes. And they make backpacking shovels, could have been on the list. Sunblock, which is better than sunscreen, should be on the list. You know, I always have a boonie hat, and if you don't know what boonie hats are, you need to Google them. And the good thing about them is they are crushable because, hey, my dad always says dressing for the outdoors is not a fashion statement, but I agree, yeah, and I do agree with him. But hey, man, you gotta look cool, so the boonie works. So what would be on your list? You could tweet me at Joey B Outdoors, J-O-E-Y-B-E Outdoors, and I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's J-O-E-Y-B-E.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.